Little girls look at little girls. So it's all right to say if you're looking at one of them little girls and you're a little boy, it's all right. Amen. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Find one that's already serving God. Give me a refill, Brother Scott. I'm out already. Amen. And I enjoyed that. I mean that. I really did. And good job, ladies. Y'all done good. And Miss Cassie's back there holding her heart like she's about to have a heart attack. And that was good, amen, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your willingness to serve, young ladies. I mean that. And look up in here at me real quick. Don't never outgrow that. Don't get a teenager and act like you can't serve God. Don't never get too cool to serve God. Somebody holler amen on that. I'm going to preach a shouting message in just a minute, but somebody holler amen right there. Don't never get too old to serve God. And let God use you, amen? And I appreciate that. Well, the book of Exodus tonight, book of Exodus, and we'll bring a couple of things with the help of the Lord out of here. My introduction is this: three reasons I'm happy NC State beat Duke. And then I'm going to preach on 5 points, how the referees robbed Dallas from winning against Green Bay. I'm still a little bitter over that. Dallas beat Green Bay, bless God. They just didn't beat the refs. And you say that's babbling. No, honey, that's good preaching is what that is. And rest of you, get right with God. You pull for Dallas too, amen. Since they didn't make it, Seattle all the way, baby, amen. And I so tickled last night to see them beat the Panthers. And the only thing I like about the Panthers is Cam Newton. That's just because he can design clothes good, amen. But anyway, it's all right to laugh a little bit in church, amen. Exodus tonight, I'm not going to be long. I got a thought here, though, that I want to give you. And everybody all right about Dallas? We'll give an altar call right now, and y'all can come get right with God if you wasn't pulling for him. Amen. No, I'm just picking. I got a little thought right here. It's not much. It's really just a thought. All it is. I got a couple of things wrote down, and we'll see if the Lord will help us with it tonight and give us something out of it. Exodus tonight, if you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. The first Sunday in February, we'll kick back off with the lightning program. We'll be saying more about that. A few of you was asking about that. We'll kick back off right there in February. So remember that. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help me and use me tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us liberty as we preach, God, as we look into your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us recall the things that we've studied today, God, the things that you've brought to our remembrance as we look through this. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd use us tonight, Father, for your glory and for your honor, God. Lord, we need to hear from you tonight. God, I thank you for the way you've been meeting with us, God, the way you've been blessing us the past few weeks, God. Thank you, Lord, for the good meeting this week with Brother McNeese, God. Thank you, Lord, for the good service this morning. But, God, we come again tonight. Lord, we need a fresh touch again tonight. We need fresh oil again tonight, God. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us tonight, God, and use us and preach us in power and unction of the Holy Ghost of God tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet our need tonight. Lord, just help us to represent you. In Jesus' name we pray it, and all of God's youngins said, amen and amen. Let's remain standing for the reading of God's Word. For the sake of time, I'm just going to jump to verse 18. And Moses is here and he's speaking to God, and God tells him down through verse about 13, 14, and 15 down through there that his presence was going to go with him and that he was going to have his presence with him when he went to accomplish the task that lied before him. And then in verse number 18 of Exodus chapter 34, Moses makes a very interesting request. And let me show it to you tonight, and we'll preach a little bit on it. Exodus 34 and verse number 18, your Bible said this, and he said, this is Moses speaking to God, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said,
thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand when I pass by, or while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, and my face shall not be seen. He said in verse number 18, show me thy glory. Moses makes this very interesting request of wanting to see the glory of God. And I want to preach on this thought for just a little while. Some things the glory will remind you of. Some things the glory will remind you of. You can be seated tonight, and may God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. When you come into the book of Exodus, you know it lies in the second book of the Bible in the way the canon is laid out. And you know that the book of Exodus is a book of Exodus. That's what it is. It's a book of the children of Israel making their exodus out of Egypt's land and seeing the mighty power of God move in the children of Israel's life. And Moses, of course, is the leader of the children of Israel. Or we could say it this way, he's the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Israel. Amen. He's got around 3 million in his membership. It was just not a few that made the exodus that night out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and through the desert to Elam and then on through the desert and wandering around in the desert. But there was a lot of people that made that great exodus that night when you study it out. And Moses right here is a man of God. Moses is a man that has been in the very presence of God. Moses is a man that saw a bush catch on fire in the middle of the wilderness and saw God speak through it. Moses is a man that knows who God is. Moses is a man that knows what the power of God is and what the power of God can do. Moses is a man that, as I stated this morning about David, has been under the spout where the glory runs out. Moses knows something about the provision of God and the protection of God and the mighty power of the thrice holy God. Moses knows all about that. He is a very, very well associated with that because he's seen it on numerous occasions. Now, just a few chapters prior to this, Moses has went up on the mountain. And up on that mountain, God gave him the Ten Commandments. And he came down off that mountain and had a glow about his face. Matter of fact, it was the glow of the glory of God. Matter of fact, if you'll trace it out and the Hebrew words out in it, you'll find it over there in the book of Job. And Job named his sixth daughter Karen Hapuk. And what that is the glory of God. That's what it is. It's the same thing. Moses went up on that mountain and got in the glory of God. Man, he was experienced with that. And he came back down off that mountain. And guess what the children of Israel had done? God had just delivered them out of Pharaoh's hand. God had just brought them across the Red Sea and through by Elam and led them in camp at a place that had 12 wells of water and 70 and 3 score palm trees. Hey, they had been where God was at, but you know what they'd done? They took all their gold off and they made a golden calf. And they began, Aaron led that little expedition there, and they began to worship that golden calf. You know what Moses does? Moses comes down off that mountain after being in the glory of God and being in the very presence of God and comes into a great big mess of 3 million people that has now turned from the true worship of God and has turned to a golden calf and began to worship it. So Moses gets upset. You know the story, and I'm not going to take time to preach all of that. We know he throws the stones down. He ends up having to go back up on the mountain again, and God gave them to him again. And he rewrote it all. But here's what I want to look at. Moses had been all around God, and those people had been all around God.
But where did Moses find those people at? He found them worshiping a false god. He found them stooping in idolatry and worshiping a false god. He found them turning to something else beside the God of glory and the creator of the world and the one that saved them out of the hand of Pharaoh. If I could say it, I would say it this way. I really believe that if we look into this world today, that's where this world's at today. The biggest part of this world could care less about God anymore. A lot of people sitting on our church pews, sit here out of habit Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, don't know one thing about the glory of God because it's been so long since they was in the glory, and they've turned to idolatry instead of worshiping God. You say, well, what is idolatry? Idolatry is simply this: anything that you put in front of God. Yeah, man. May some people got idolatry in their life tonight, and that's the reason they're not in the house of God. May some people will have idolatry in their life on Friday night, and that's the reason they won't be in the house of God. May some people got idolatry in their life, and that's the reason they won't be in church next Sunday. Yeah, man, right there. And that's what the people had turned to. Moses gets upset, and I'm not going to preach all that. He comes over here, and we roll around in chapter 32 or chapter 33. And I read there out of chapter 33, right 10. And Moses comes before God, and God's wanting him to do some more things. And Moses says, God, I'm not going to do it without you. I've got to have your presence. I've got to have your help. Would to God that we'd get to that place in our life where we say, God, I'm not going another mile without you. God, I'm not going another day without you. God, I've got to have your presence. God, I've got to have your help. God, I've got to see you manifest yourself to me again. That's where Moses gets. Moses comes into verse number 18. God's already told him in the verses prior to this. God's already told him that he would be with him. And Moses comes in to verse number 18 and he says this: show me thy glory. Moses cries out for the glory of God. Moses prays, and Moses is asking simply for this. He's asking for revival in verse number 18. He's saying, God, we want to see your glory. He's saying, God, we want you to manifest yourself to us. Oh God, let us see your move one more time. Oh God, let us see your power one more time. Oh God, show us your glory one more time. Would to God that the children of God would get like Moses and begin to cry again tonight. Oh God, show us your glory. Oh God, manifest yourself to us one more time. Oh God, we want to see you again. We want to feel your presence. Oh God, show us thy glory. Show us thy glory. That's what Moses is doing right here. He's crying out, Brother Chad, it's a very interesting request. Show us thy glory. Show us thy glory. I want to ask you this question tonight. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, show me your glory. Oh, God, show me your glory. The sad thing is this, so many people have never seen the glory of God, so they don't pray for the glory. Amen. The closest thing to ever experiencing the glory of God was the night they got saved. Yeah, man. Everybody still all right tonight? It was the night that they got saved. Yeah. But since that night, Brother Chris, they probably haven't seen the glory since then. I don't know about nobody else sitting here, but I know what the glory is like. I've been in the glory before. I've saw the presence of God and been in the presence of God and felt the presence of God. And I say, as Moses said in Exodus 33:18, oh God, show us thy glory one more time. Show us thy glory. You see, when you see the glory of God, I said I wasn't going to preach long, but I feel like preaching a little while. When you see the glory of God will remind you of some things. When we are in His glory, it will remind us of some things. The glory of God will bring back to our remembrance some things. You ever walked in church with a heavy heart? Just didn't feel like you could go another mile. The storms of life raging all around you. And all of a sudden, maybe like Monday night, and all of a sudden the choir gets up and begins to sing. And the choir gets done singing, and it's still there in the back of your mind, but you ain't thinking about it quite as much. Then the Special singing gets up, and Sunday, they not knock it out of the ballpark Monday night and Tuesday night. Special singing gets up, and boy, they began to sing. I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea. Boy, all of a sudden, the glory of God begins to sweep through the church, and the presence of God begins to walk up and down the aisle. And before you know it, man, you find yourself sitting there with tears running down your face. And the worry that you had when you came in was the least thing from your mind. You wasn't even thinking about it no more. And the preacher gets up and begins to preach. And before you know it, all the cares of life, it's not even there anymore. And all you can think about is the things of God. You see, that's the glory, and that's God manifesting Himself to us. There's some things that we'll remember when we get in the glory. Amen. I say, if you've never been in the glory, you should get in the glory at least one time. Oh, yes, you should get in the glory at least one time. He said, show me thy glory. What did God do? He showed him His glory. He said, you can't see all of me. He said, but I'll let you get a glimpse of me. And you know what happened to Moses that night? He got a glimpse of the glory. Yeah, man. I'm glad there's been a few times along this journey that I've got a glimpse of His glory. Oh, yes. I remember one night, it was about 10 o'clock. And we was in Florida. Me and Brother Mike Van Horn was riding together in Florida. Brother Mike had a Chevrolet Caprice and had a great big sticker on the back glass. That's when I was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Had a great big sticker. Brother Jeff, you probably remember them stickers that people used to have on the back glass. Said Rock of Ages Prison Ministries, Cleveland, Tennessee. And it had a tomb with a stone roadway and three crosses on it. And we was coming up a dirt road, and this guy come flying up behind us, and he was flashing his lights, and he was trying to get us to stop. And finally, Brother Mike said, I'm going to stop. And I said, you crazy man. You're an idiot. Don't stop this car. We don't have a gun. He said, we've got God. I said, there's a difference in faith and foolishness. Don't stop. He stopped the car. This guy, old rough looking dude, kind of like Cameron, old rough looking dude, more like Randy, come running up beside the car. Brother Mike got out, and you said, what'd you do? I wanted to crawl in the floorboard and cry. I thought it was over, man. I thought he was going to die right there. I ain't going to lie. I opened the door, and we both got out. He said, you dudes were Rock of Ages. No, we just got that sticker on our glass for no reason. That's what I wanted to say, but I wasn't about to say that. Here's your sign. But I wasn't about to say that. I said, yes, sir, we sure are. He said, I used to be in prison. I sang, man, I wish you still there right now. Don't lie, bless God, you've been the same way. He said, I used to be in prison. I said, really? He said, yeah. He began to talk about the prison he was in. He was in Florida State Penitentiary. There's a guy named Brother William. I can't even remember William Bray was the guy's name. He said, Brother William Bray, he was, I don't know if he's still Rock of Ages or not. He was a missionary with us at that time. He said, Brother William Bray, come by my cell one day, over in solitary confinement, and began to talk to me about God. He said, I was wicked and I was vile. I slowed down. That old big boy got to squalling and crying. Man, I got to squalling and crying. Brother Mike got to squalling and crying. He said he took his Bible and told me that Jesus loved me and Jesus cared about me, and I don't have to die and go to hell. He said, preachers, I bowed my head. Woo, I feel like preaching. He said, I bowed my head in that old jail cell that night and asked God to come into my heart and save me. He said He saved me. And I just wanted to say thank you for giving your time. Keep on preaching. Keep on telling people about God. He got in his car and he started up the road. He got out of sight, son. I broke the run across that field that night. And I said, hallelujah. God's still saving sinners. The glory of God was manifested to us that night. Hey, if you've ever seen the glory, you'll never be satisfied that you're in the glory again. Moses said, "Oh God, show us thy glory." Now note verse number 19. Here's some things, chapter 33, verse 19. Here's some things that the glory will remind you of. He said this, and he said, this is God, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Number one, this is real deep. The glory will remind you of his goodness. Amen. He said, "I'll make all of my goodness pass before thee." And you say, "Preacher, what is the goodness of God?" It's them good things he's done for you. You say, "What is the goodness of God?" You've got clothes on your back and shoes on your feet. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what is the goodness of God? We've got a beautiful building to sit in tonight." You say, "Preacher, what is the goodness of God? We've got heat inside the building tonight." You say, "Preacher, what is the goodness of God? You've got a vehicle to drive that's got gas in it, and you got food in your cabinet at the house." You say, "Preacher, I ain't got no food in my cabinet at the house." You see me after service, and before you get back home, there'll be food in your cabinet at the house. You see, when we see the glory of God, it will remind us of the goodness of God. I don't know about anybody else sitting here tonight, but I'm glad that I can testify of the good things of God. God has been way too good to this old boy. I ought to be in hell tonight with my back broke, but God saved me. God called me to preach. God gave me a godly wife. God gave me great children. The goodness of God, the glory, will remind us of his goodness. When we get in the glory, Hey, I've never been in the glory that I wasn't reminded of his goodness. Son, he is really good to us. Amen, Brother Randy. He is really, really good to us. And Brother Stan, we're so undeserving. You may be perfect, but I'm not. I fail God every day. But Tim, I let God down every day. But you know what? He just keeps pouring his blessings out. Woo! He just keeps pouring his blessings out. He just keeps blessing us over and over and over. And you say, "Preacher, I ain't got as much as I once did." You still got, though. You say, "I didn't get that." You ain't got as much as you once did, but you still got. If we was to take time and start Brother Chad, when we got to Friday night and time for service to start, we'd still be here trying to go around the church talking about how good God really was. You see, when we see his glory, it will remind us of his goodness. Can I just tell you something? You or I, neither one, has never seen a bad day. Amen. You or I, neither one, has ever seen a bad day. Boy, if time would permit us, we'd get on a plane, and if money would permit us and security would permit us, and we could fly to southern Sudan. We could let Brother Jeremy take us into the jungles of southern Sudan. See the native people that don't even have clothes on their back. See the children that's running around. Well, I wish somebody helped me preach. See the children running around that don't even have food to eat. Oh, yes. Oh, but look at where we're at tonight. I don't agree with everything that's going on in America, but America's still the greatest nation that ever has been. We're able to worship God freely. We're able to meet in here tonight and to preach. We've got friends that we can turn to. We've got people that love us. We've got food to eat and clothes on our back and shoes on our feet. God has been good to us. Anytime you get in the glory, it'll remind you of his goodness. But can I say something else? Anytime you get reminded of his goodness and begin to thank him for his goodness, you'll get in the glory. Yeah, you could say this, a prescription for the glory. Number one, remember his goodness. Amen. So, "Preacher, you don't know where I'm at." Honey, I ain't got to know where you at. God's still good. So, preach, you don't know how dark the storm is right now. God's still good. Say, preacher, I can't see him right now. He's still there. Job said, I looked on my left, on my right, and front behind. He wasn't nowhere around. But he knoweth the way that I take. Oh, yeah. You see, the glory, number one, tonight will remind us of his goodness. Number two tonight, the glory, note with me in your Bible. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now note the next phrase. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. It'll not only remind us of his goodness, it will remind us of his greatness. He said, I'll proclaim the name of Buddha before thee. If yours says that, you see me after church. We've got plenty of Bibles back here. We'll give you one. It didn't say that I'll proclaim the name of Moses before thee. It didn't say I'll proclaim the name of Mary before thee. No, it said I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. You see, it will remind us of his goodness, but at the same time, when we get in the glory, it will remind us of his greatness. He, oh yes, friend, he still is a great God. He still is the supreme authority of this world. Hey, he still has the king's heart in his hand, and if he sees fit, he can turn it. Oh yes, he is the one that gave us our breath to breathe. He is the one that blessed us with everything that we have. He is the one that reached further down than we could ever reach up in the muck and the mire of sin. If it was for the law, we'd die and go to hell. If it was for our sins, we'd die and go to hell. Oh, but aren't you glad there was a day that the greatness of God stepped up on the scene and said, I'll send a son to die in your place and take your sin debt so you don't have to go to hell. It's the greatness of God tonight. Oh, Moses is over there. Oh, about chapter 3 or chapter 13 right in there. It's chapter 3. Next is chapter 3. Moses, God comes to him. Begins to talk to him. I like it sometimes and sometimes I don't. Because sometimes he says things that I don't want to hear. Don't be so spiritual, bless God. God comes to him. Says, you go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I really believe that Moses has a speech impediment. I'm not going to go into all that, but Brother Chad, I really do. God tells Moses, said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses gets upset. Moses gets nervous. Moses don't want to speak in front of Pharaoh. I mean, after all, he is the leader of the land that's holding them bondage. I mean, before we judge Moses too fast about not wanting to go talk to Pharaoh, let's just think about it. What if God told you, Brian Beasley, to go see Barack Obama tomorrow and tell him that he needs to get saved? You'd probably question God. So let's just think about this for a minute. Moses says this, Lord, whom shall I say sent me? Here's what God says. Go tell him thee, I am that I am, hath sent thee. Can I just tell you something? When the I am that I am steps up on the scene, you don't need nobody else. Amen. I'm not going to take time to go into all the details. Brother Charlie knows. And Brother Chad knows. Just past Thursday, I went to a parole hearing. Wasn't it Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday. It's past Thursday, I went to a parole hearing. And according to everything that we had ever heard, this gentleman, there was no way around it, he's going back to prison. The parole commission came in, went to the back, probation officer went to the back. I'm not going to go into all the details of it, went to the back. I was out there as a character witness for the man that he had turned his life around. My dad was out there. Brother Bill Watson was out there. Several other people was out there. And just a little bit, the parole counselor come walking back out, went out the door. The probation officer come over there and walked up to us and began to talk to us. and said, he's free. They're going to let him go here in just a minute. They're getting all of his clothes together. And he said this. It's the first time I've ever seen that happen. They usually always go back to prison. Turned around, walked out the door. My dad said, this is deep, but he said this, shoo. That's what my dad says when he gets in the glory. My dad don't necessarily jump up and down, run and scream and holler, but he'll go, shoo. I remember when I was a little boy sitting in church the first time I ever really remembered the glory falling. Man, people was shouting. People was running the aisle. We was at Greer Baptist camp meeting, son. And the glory was there. And Daddy went, shoo. Daddy said, I know somebody that got back there before that parole cancel ever got back there. Oh, yes. When you've got the great I Am on your side, you don't need nobody else. Amen. Hey, all of hell can come up against you, and the devil can come up against you. But when you've got the great I Am on your side, we're going to come out on the winning side. You say, preacher, we're in the midst of a great big battle, and I don't know if we're going to win. Hey, I got good news. I've read the back of the book. I know what's fixing to happen. The trumpet of God's fixing to sound, and the greatness of God's fixing to come back and carry us home to be with Him. It will remind us of the greatness of God. He is still all powerful. He is still all knowing. Amen. He is still God. Amen. He won't stop you, but you won't stop Him either. As I preached this morning, it was the goodness of God. It was the greatness of God, but can I say this, number three? And I'm about out of water. We might have to get another refill. Number three, and I'm right now done. I'm not. It's all right, but they say I'm not going to get another refill. I'm going to let you go in just a second. You see, when we get in the glory, we'll be reminded of the goodness of God. We'll be reminded of the greatness of God. But now look with me. He says this, and will be, what's the next word? Gracious, to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy, of whom I will show mercy. You see, when we get in the glory, it will remind us, Brother Cameron, of the goodness of God, of the greatness of God. But can I say this? When we get in the glory, it will remind us of the grace of God. It will remind us of the grace of God. Can I just back up and preach it all over again? If you'll remember the grace of God, you'll remember the greatness of God that will lead you to remembering the goodness of God. And when you get all those remembered, you'll be in the glory of God. Amen. You see, when we get in the glory, it will remind us of the grace of God. Say, preacher, what is grace? Man, I got an hour to preach right there, but I'm about preached out. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is simply us not getting what we deserve. You see, you and I both deserve to be in hell. Oh, yeah. You and I both deserve hell. There's nothing good within us. Hey, you say, well, preacher, I'm a good person, and I've always been a good person. You may be a good person, always been a good person, but if you're a good person, always been a good person, you've just always been a good lost person. Say, preacher, I work hard. Great. You say, preacher, I'm faithful to the house of God. Hallelujah, I believe you ought to be. Say, preacher, I tell people about the Lord. Wonderful. So, preacher, am I all right? If you ain't ever experienced His grace, you ain't. Because those works, when they, oh, no. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can never work my way into heaven. I can never do enough good works to get me there. I can never tell enough people about Him to get me there. I can never preach enough to get me there. I can never travel enough to get me there. Oh, but aren't you thankful for the grace of God that one day saw you in your lost sin state headed straight to the flames of hell, and in the grace of God, He launched the Holy Spirit into your life and showed you your need of Him. And now you're saved and hell proof. It's all because the grace of God. Things the glory will remind you of. The glory will remind you. Come start playing. The glory will remind you of His goodness. It's all right there in verse 19. It's amazing how the Bible just outlines itself. It reminds you of the goodness of God. The goodness. He's been good to you the past 6 months, hadn't he, Brother Jeff and Miss Andrew? Been real good to you, hadn't he? Walked in over there the other day in that new house. Man, it's pretty. Still waiting on an invitation to eat supper with you, but it's pretty. I'm just picking. You got to get her, Aunt Alicia. I'd like to come eat supper one night. But you know, I walked in over there, man. It's beautiful. That's just the goodness of God. And it was the greatness of God that allowed y'all to meet. And it was the grace of God that got him down an aisle and got him saved. Amen. He's been real good. Last year, he's over yonder in the middle of a mud pit working on a house. But you know what? The other night, I stood over there in that beautiful new house that God's give you. Prayed a long time for him to get saved, and all those things didn't go through at the bank for a reason, I believe, because you'd have kept him out of church back then. But after he got saved, that goodness of God exemplified his greatness and gave you that lawn. And now you're sitting over in a beautiful house. Hey, God's been good. God's been good. Let y'all build a new house just a few years ago. That's the goodness of God. Hey, that's what it is. It's the goodness of God. Oh, yes. That's what it is. Say, preacher, I'm right now done. Not because I want to be, just because I'm tired. If I had a Gatorade and a Red Bull and a 5-hour energy, we'd probably make it another hour. I'd do them backwards. So I'd do the 5-hour energy and then the Red Bull and then chase it with a Gatorade. And it'll help you, son. You'll try it sometime. Bad on your heart, but... Say, preacher, it's been a while. It's been a while since I've been in the glory. Can I be honest with you? I've been there before. Sure have. And if you've ever been in the glory and you get to that place where you're not living in the glory, it's miserable. You can stand up and preach and not be in the glory, Brother Chris. Say, preacher, it's been a while since I've been in the glory. Well, can I give you a prescription for getting in the glory? Can I tell you how to get in the glory? I'm going to tell you. Is that all right, Miss Dawn? You act like you're interested if nobody else is. If you go to that altar and you'll start thanking God for His grace, don't ask Him for one thing. Only thing you need to ask Him for, if there's any sin in your life, to get it out of the way so He'll hear you. Because if we regard iniquity in our heart, He'll not hear our prayers. Get that sin out of your life. Then after you get that taken care of, then just start thanking Him for His grace. Just start thanking. You remember that day He saved you? Just start thanking Him for that. Just start, Lord... Well, I'm about to preach myself happy. Boy, I remember it. was a good boy, but I was a lost boy. I remember that night. Just start thanking God for His grace. Then start thanking Him for His greatness, for how mighty He is, and how holy He is, and how glorious. Oh, yes, friend. I'm feeling a breeze from another world. Just how glorious and mighty He is. And then just start thanking Him. Thank Him for the shoes you got on. Thank Him for the clothes that's on your back. Thank Him for the taste buds in your mouth. What about that? Thank Him that you's able to smell. Thank Him that you's able to sit in church. I'm talking about the goodness of God and able to hear. Thank Him that you wasn't in a rehab center like Brother Joe is tonight. Boy, we thank Him for what He's done. But I'm going to tell you something. If it wasn't for the goodness of God, we wouldn't be there in the greatness of God. Thank Him that you got a husband that's in church now and loves God. Oh, yes. You get to doing that. Let me tell you what will happen, Brother Charlie. We'll catch you down there about the crossroads tonight. The reason. Can I give you an illustration? That I'm glad. 9 years ago, almost, 8.5 years ago, the Lord sent me up here. I did not want to come. I ain't gonna lie to you. I didn't want to come, Brother Jeff. I had no desire to come up here. You say, why? Because I was happy where I was at. I was assistant pastor at a church. Had a good salary. I'm just being honest when I say this. Was running more in my youth church on Sunday mornings than we was running in attendance here on Sunday mornings. I didn't want to come up here. But God made me. And my wife, she's more spiritual than I was, still is. We come up here, and I thought, I just can't make it without all my buddies at Northwood. See, when you're a pastor, you're assistant pastor, your life revolves around your people. I'm closer to the people in this room than I am the biggest part of my family. Your brother Jeff, you know what I'm talking about. It revolves around. I thought, man, there's no way. Leslie and I talked, and boy, we talked about people that we'd miss. I mean, people we'd done stuff with every weekend. I thought, there ain't no way. You know what? 8.5 years later, I don't even hardly think about the people at Northwood anymore. They don't even come to my mind anymore. I still go back. I preach down there every year in camp meeting, and Dad's coming up here to preach for us, and I go to all their meetings and enjoy going to church with them, but I don't think about them no more. Let me tell you the reason, because I have absenced myself from them. And this has become my everyday life now. Now, here's the application. The reason you hadn't missed the glory is because you've absenced yourself from the glory so long that you don't even remember what the glory was like. That's a sobering thought right there. But Jonathan hit the nail on the head. We got a manufactured worship anymore. If you want the glory tonight, you hit that altar. Say, God, first and foremost, if there's anything in my life that keep you from hearing this prayer, please forgive me. God, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of them. Now, Lord, I don't want to ask for nothing else. But just for a minute, I just want to thank you for being God. Lord, I may not understand everything you do all the time, but you're God. And I just want to thank you for being God. For being omnipresent. What about that? You don't talk about his greatness. Everywhere at the same time. Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for your greatness. I want to thank you for your grace. You remember that day God came by where you was at and snatched you up out of hell. Remember that day? Boy, that's a good day, wouldn't it? That's a good day, wouldn't it? That's the day you experienced the grace of God. You go to thanking God for his grace. You go to thanking God for his greatness. You go to thanking God for his goodness. And can I tell you something? It won't be long. You'll be in the glory. You'll get a glimpse of the glory. Might retitle that message and preach it this way. It might be a keeper. I got some back there I've preached before, and they made it to file 13. I ain't never preached them since. But I might retitle this and then preach it some more. On how to get a glimpse of the glory. Hey, I'm thankful. Y'all ready to go home? But I'm thankful for his grace. I'm thankful for his greatness. And I'm thankful for his goodness. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Nobody's looking around tonight. We're to flood these altars. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to die and go to hell. Boy, he's been really good. Thank you, Lord, for a church that I can worship in. If you hadn't ever met him, you ought to come meet him tonight. She's going to play through another verse. The Lord spoke to you. Our Father, in Jesus' name, oh God, we love you tonight. Lord, we are grateful for how good you are to us. Lord, you sure have blessed us beyond measure. Lord, thank you. Lord, if we thank you from now until the time we died, until the time you come back to get us, we cannot even begin to scratch the surface of how good you really are. So, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to die and go to hell. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a home awaiting on me in heaven. Thank you, Lord. There's not enough words to say, and thank you seems so insufficient, but thank you. As we go this week, Lord, may we take time each day to say thank you for your blessings. Help our little church up here on the hill stay close to you. In Jesus' name. That name that's above every name, we pray it. Amen and amen. 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 Well, the psalmist said it this way. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. As we go tonight, we ought to go thanking God for His goodness, His greatness, and His graciousness to us. Amen. Remember, service Friday night, 7 o'clock. We'll have a good time. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Amen. Wednesday night, Lord's willing, I'll probably go somewhere to church. If you want to go with me, you holler at me. We'll find somewhere to go shout at. Amen. I'm not going to go to the back and shake hands through the cold air blowing in. I'll be right up here. If you want to shake my hand, now don't leave and say I didn't shake your hand tonight at the back door. Everybody still all right? Y'all go home singing that song, well, the preacher didn't even shake my hand. Y'all remember that song? I'll be standing right up here. Good night. God bless y'all.